Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
ARK Raiders. A multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Kleenex Lotion Tissues. You can't predict sick days, but with Kleenex Lotion Tissues, you can be better prepared for them while helping keep your skin healthy. Whether it's a surprise sneeze or a stuffy nose, it's always good to have something gentle on hand. Kleenex Lotion Tissues moisturize to help prevent skin irritation while you're battling those unwanted cold and flu symptoms. It's extra care when you need it most. I mean, why not have one less thing to worry about when you're not feeling your best? For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.
That's right. The show goes on. Sports Radio 94 WIP. It's Buzz with you. Louis Coco is behind the glass. 215-592-9494. That is the phone number. How you jump aboard. Happy Saturday, everyone. Happy to be with you on this Saturday morning yet again for the second consecutive week. Filling in for Devin Caney and Ruben Amaro Jr. Devin Caney, I know, down at the link right now, or down at the sports complex, participating in the Eagles Autism Challenge. So obviously, great job for her, great job for everyone involved in Team Odyssey. I know a lot of members of the station are down there right now. Lewis and I holding the fort down, if you will, while a lot of people are down at the Eagles Autism Challenge. Maybe people headed there, headed back. Maybe you even have the Odyssey app in your earbuds, in your AirPods, and are listening to us while doing the Eagles Autism Challenge, which is really, really cool. Hopefully, everyone's staying safe out there. Of course, we know, Lewis, a few years ago, A.J. Brown nearly had an accident while on Instagram Live on the bike, and an unnamed, sometimes there have been known, we're not going to have Devin call into the show here this morning, because in the past, we have had hosts in this very time slot, nearly have an accident, while calling in on the air. So we're going to keep everyone safe, and we're going to keep this train moving as the Eagles Autism Challenge rolls on here on this Saturday, May the 17th. And speaking of the Eagles, speaking of those 2025 Philadelphia Eagles, the defending Super Bowl champs, and I'm sure doing the Eagles Autism Challenge and the Lombardi Trophy will probably make its appearance out there today. It's a fun time. And this offseason has been a fun time just seeing the victory tour. I'm assuming at some point next month they'll do the ring ceremony, and then eventually they'll lock back in for training camp, so on and so forth. But it felt like we had like the last shoe to drop in the NFL offseason proceedings before training camp begins on Wednesday. The schedule is officially out. Everyone's doing their wins and losses. Everyone's officially kind of formulating their expectations for the 2025 Eagles. And here's where I'm at. Like, here's where I'm at with the 25 Eagles, which is, I think we need to stop moving the goalposts for this team. I have heard way too much on the station, whether it was the afternoon show I was producing yesterday or listening to the morning show throughout the course of the week or the midday show. I was producing the morning show a lot throughout the week as well. Feel a lot of people looking at the schedule saying, this is going to be difficult, this is going to be tough, this is going to be a setback year. I do not get it. I flat out do not get the mindset for this Eagles, like softening our expectations. When did we as a city start lowering the bar? We need to stop moving the goalposts for the 2025 Eagles. I need this team back in the Super Bowl, or at minimum, back in the NFC Championship. I want to know if you agree at 215-592-9494. I really don't care that the schedule is hard. I really do not care that the schedule is difficult. This is what happens when you win the Super Bowl. Every team ever who has won the Super Bowl, at least in the modern day NFL, has had a tough schedule the following year. Never mattered for the New England Patriots, never mattered for the Chiefs, never mattered. I mean, the Seahawks ultimately lost on the goal line in their quest to go back-to-back, but they got back to the Super Bowl. I can give you countless examples in recent memory of teams who won the Super Bowl and then were right back in it the following year. You very oftentimes, unless you were a wild card team, play a first place schedule the following year. You very oftentimes get a lot of primetime games, which, by the way, we're going to, as the show goes on here, no pun intended to the open, we're going to dive into the schedule a little bit more. I don't think the schedule makers, quote unquote, screw the Eagles nearly as much as I think a lot of people think. I think overall, when you look at things like where the bye is and spreading out road trips, I think this was relatively okay. And these were the opponents we knew they were going to have anyway. This schedule stuff is getting in people's heads, and this whole setback idea, because now they're the hunted, not the hunters, and because Jalen Hurts needs to continue to ascend his game, and Saquon Barkley, what are the odds he's going to be as good as he was in 2024, in 2025? They are the defending Super Bowl champions. And this team, I do not see any other team as I look around the league right now that I say, or especially around the NFC, where I say, well, they shouldn't get back to the NFC Championship, that my expectation should significantly lower. People are emotionally hedging. People who are too negative on this team, I think, are way, way, way too low and lowering their mindset, their expectations to a unhealthy extent, to a way far extent. I heard Jack on the afternoon show yesterday say, oh, just win a playoff game and that's fine. BS. Like, be friggin' S. I need this team back in the NFC Championship at minimum. Maybe, I really, what I want is the Super Bowl, but at minimum, get me to the NFC Championship, and then we'll talk about a successful season. You do not come back as the odds-on favorite to repeat as Super Bowl champions and get a pass for a successful year just by going to the divisional round. And I want to know if you agree at 215-592-9494. Point number two off the schedule. Besides the fact that they are, again, if you look at the odds, favored to win the Super Bowl right now, yet again, which is pretty common for teams looking to repeat, this team has a real chance to be favored in, what, 14 of these games as you look down the schedule? Week 2 in Kansas City, would guess the Chiefs are going to be favored there. Or in some places, you can actually find an early spread, believe they are favored. Maybe one of those Commanders games late in the season, depending what it means for each team in Landover. Yeah, maybe the Commanders are favored. At Buffalo in Week 17, probably a spot where the Bills are favored. You tell me why they're all, I'm not suggesting they're going to go 14-3, but you tell me why I should significantly lower expectations for this team when they are better than just about every team on this schedule. I'm supposed to be afraid of the Rams in Week 3. Why? Because Sean McVay complained that they should have won that division round game. I'm supposed to be afraid of, like, definitely not the Cowboys in Week 1, or I'm supposed to be afraid of the Lions in Week 11 on a home Sunday night football spot. These are all games the Eagles should win. The Eagles should be right back atop the NFC East, end that streak of 20 years of no one repeating as NFC East champions. They should be right back in the thick of things as, at minimum, one of the top two or three teams in the NFC. They should be at minimum in the NFC Championship, and what I'd really like to see is them go back to the Super Bowl. There's no reason they shouldn't. There's no reason they can't. And I don't buy this lowering expectations, lowering the mindset, and that there's any such thing as a successful season with, again, at minimum, an appearance on Championship Sunday. What I really think it is a trip back to the Super Bowl, and I want to know if you agree. At 215-592-9494. And the last thing I want to get to here is this team, I actually think too much has been made of what they've lost this offseason. We've heard about losing Milton Williams. We've heard about losing Josh Sweat and Darius Slay and Mekhi Becton and C.J. Gardner-Johnson. And those guys are good players. Those guys are absolutely good players. And I am not diminishing. I am not diminishing the impact that they had on a Super Bowl season. But yet again, this is life in the NFL. Because it's a salary cap, and they also lost Kellen Moore, offensive coordinator, not going to pretend like that's nothing. This is life in the NFL. Teams who win the Super Bowl, the burden of doing business is that your assistant coaches very quickly leave to take head coaching jobs. A lot of your players want to get paid. They do. You don't have the money to pay them. And so therefore, you need to replenish your talent. The truly great organizations in the NFL, which I believe the Eagles are one of them, and if we have this faith in Howie Roseman that everyone exudes around here, then ultimately, at the end of the day, I think this team's going to be fine. I'm not telling you it's not going to be harder. I'm not telling you that winning a back-to-back Super Bowl, that the second's not going to be tougher than the first. But it's not as if no one can do it. If the Chiefs can go to three consecutive Super Bowls, if teams like the Patriots for years can go to one Super Bowl after another, then there is no reason I should lower my expectations for the Eagles with a quarterback who played that well in the NFC Championship, that well in the Super Bowl, and has a roster that is returning 10 of its 11 offensive starters and bringing, what, 7 of 11 defensive starters and have Vic Fangio at the helm. This is still a really, really, really good football team. I do not understand the mindset of moving the goalposts for this team. They just won the Super Bowl. They have the championship belt. No one else does. And if you want to say that you still believe the Chiefs are better or that the Bills are better or maybe even the Commanders are better, fine. Those are all somewhat reasonable arguments to make, and maybe those will be the teams sitting at the end. But there is no way that, again, at minimum, this team should not be right back in the NFC Championship. I believe they have a very clear path and realistic path to get back to the Super Bowl. I want to know if you agree, and if whether you agree that listening to the station or just getting a sense of the fan base, 3 months removed, we're right around the three months and a week about since that team won the Lombardi Trophy down at the Superdome in New Orleans. And I feel like ever since, way too much of this city has gone into the mode of, you know what, if they don't gets back to those same expectations we had for them a year ago, that's fine. I'll still chalk it up as a successful season. I do not agree. I want to know if you do at 215-592-9494. Let's kick it up on the phones with Teddy in Chestnut Hill. What's up, Teddy?
Hey, how you doing? I think that the Eagles won last year and they were successful as a team because of their defense. So, yeah, no, I don't expect them to have nearly as good a year this year because I don't think their defense will be good enough. And so the defense was the reason that they won the championship, in my opinion.
Well, okay, so I agree with you in the impact the defense had. But, I'm not discrediting the four starters they lost, and obviously they're going to need to replenish some of that talent. But don't you think a defensive coordinator in Vic Fangio and the talent that, and I should have also mentioned, they obviously lost Brandon Graham to retirement. That is not a nothing either. That, don't you think that Vic Fangio being at the head of this defense, and we saw them invest heavily in on the defensive side of the ball in the first couple rounds of the draft, don't you think, even if they're not the best defense in the league, don't you think they'll still be pretty good and good enough to keep this offense in games and be one of the top 5-6-ish teams in the league? Like, do you think the defense is really going to go from what you saw a year ago, that performance they had in the Super Bowl against Mahomes and the Chiefs, to mediocre?
It's possible. Probably not, but it's possible. I mean, they lost their best cornerback in Darius Slay, arguably. They lost both two defensive ends that were a big impact in the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I mean, and their defensive tackle, who wasn't you know.
Well, Sweat had an impact in the Super Bowl. Brandon Graham didn't do a whole in the Super Bowl specifically.
That the coach is the reason. Because you're basically saying...
I'm not saying he's the only reason. The players play.
I mean, that's the risk. Okay.
Well, I'm saying he's a large reason, and they didn't lose. And I think, listen, a lot of those players who were saying looked so good in 24 were a part of that defense that looked awful the year before that, right? Like on the defense that was coached by Sean Desai and then Matt Patricia, that we would agree that that defense looked terrible and was coached terribly, correct? And a lot of those same players were on that same defense. What variable changed? What was the largest variable to change entering 2024? It was the coach. It was absolutely a change in culture, a change in mindset, a change in scheme, a change in everything from top to bottom on that defense. And that is still here. Vic Fangio is still here. And that guy helped win. Maybe was the biggest reason from a coaching standpoint this team won the Super Bowl more than anything. And he's still here.
I agree with the coach. He's good. But
I just don't buy. I'm not saying they're going to be elite. I don't buy that they're going from that elite defense we saw a year ago, which had, I believe, the lowest points per game in the regular season and delivered a defensive performance for the ages on Mahomes, to a subpar defense. Like, this defense is still going to be good.
No, when I opened the call, I said they're going to be good. What I mean by that is, so. They could have the game with the Rams was very close up until the last, I know the Eagles won the game at the end, but I forget how many points it was, but
my six, point is I believe
that if their defense goes from elite down to very good, that could be the difference between winning the first or second round of the playoffs. And now that's all I'm saying. Like, I agree with you in general, but I mean, they took the edge off their defense in the personnel. So I think that's going to that could have a major impact.
Listen, Teddy, I hear you, I appreciate the call. Games are won and lost by a slim margin every week in the NFL. You wouldn't have known it watching the NFC Championship or the Super Bowl because the Eagles ran both those teams out of the water on those particular days. But you're right. Like, the Rams, that Rams game was closer than it should have been, frankly, and it did come down to their defense making a stop. And Jalen Carter was huge in that game. Jalen Carter still on the team, by the way. Jalen Carter had a huge sack on Stafford late in that game that is the reason we're talking about this team hoisting a Lombardi and not an offseason of they lost in the divisional round. Like, that, I get it. That is the difference. And you're right. Maybe a defense going from elite to very good will be the difference in games like that. I'm not saying it's impossible. What I'm saying is I'm not proclaiming this. The Eagles have set my expectations too high. I am not going to proclaim this a successful season under any circumstances. Maybe a Jalen Hurts injury or Saquon Barkley injury aside. Assuming health to those two players, there is 0% chance I'm proclaiming this a successful season without at least an NFC Championship appearance at minimum. Very likely a Super Bowl appearance. If this team is not playing for the NFC title game on Championship Sunday, then this season was a disappointment. Whether or not you're saying you're predicting that or not, my mindset as a Philadelphia sports fan, as an Eagles fan, cannot be that that is okay. That them going to the divisional round or losing in the wild card round and having their season end there is okay. And I want to know if you agree at 215-592-9494. Let's go to Mike in South Philly. What's up, Mike?
2970.
Mike.
Yes.
Hey, what's up?
All right, good. Hold on.
Hey, Mike, you on speaker?
Yeah, I'm taking you off. I'm sure you're part.
No worries. I understand people driving around here on a Saturday morning. Let us know. You know what, Mike? Let's put you back on hold for a second. We're going to go to Tom. Lewis will make sure Mike's ready to go here. Tom in Alabama, what's up?
Yo, Dan. How you doing, man?
Doing great.
Hey, Dan, I love it, this take, because, you know, we're not stepping back, brother. We're not backing down or backing up. We're going back, Jack, is what we're doing. Because, you know, on the offense, everything's pretty much well remained intact, especially that they got Goddard locked up. And on the defense, that gentleman, the first caller, I don't know where these pieces went. I mean, the bomb was a major piece. We kept him. We got Gene and Mitchell in the back end. I mean, we lost a couple people. Yeah, Milton Williams and Sweat. But, you know, that's what you have. You know, everybody's replaceable in life. And we still got the defensive core.
Well, I don't know if everyone's replaceable, but I understand your point.
But, you know, we also have the defensive coordinator who has a little bit more say as well because of the job that he did, and he's going to direct everyone in the right manner. Hey, NFC championship game, if not, it's a failure. It's not a disappointment this season, in my opinion.
Well, that's just it. It's like, I will not proclaim, if someone wants to call in and say, I think this team, it's too tough. I'm looking at the schedule. They're going to be a wild card team. They'll lose in the wild card round, divisional round. That's fine, but I'm not proclaiming that a successful year. You don't come in as the odds-on favorite to win the Super Bowl, to win the NFC, and fall significantly short of that and get proclaimed a successful season. That we have raised the bar beyond that. Those years, like the Chiefs right now, don't consider anything short of a Super Bowl title a successful season. The Eagles are obviously not quite, like the Chiefs have a dynasty of three Super Bowls with the same quarterback and coach in a more concentrated period of time. The Eagles have two as a franchise with two entirely different regimes other than the general manager and the owner, basically. But now we're nearing that level. The Eagles are now closer to the absolute top elite standard in the league, to the point where now I can't settle for anything short of really a Super Bowl appearance. But if you want to say, if they go to the NFC Championship and lose a tight game to the Commanders, let's say, or a tight game to the Rams, and they play well, maybe I feel differently on it. But no, that is like my absolute floor on this. That is the furthest I'm willing to go. And I feel like we're moving the goalposts for this team as a city. I don't know if we're losing our edge yet again with the second Super Bowl, or we're looking at the players we've lost, or the schedule, or whatever it is. But there's this sentiment that I'm feeling right now that people are content with winning just the one, and therefore next year their expectations are allowed to lower. I don't get it.
Well, they've been scarred by the history, you know, and, you know, history changes, and, we're going to be remembered a hell of a lot different for winning two Super Bowls instead of one.
Absolutely. Now you're talking, if you win two Super Bowls, frankly, the precedent is that's when you're talking about, like, Hall of Fame status for guys like Jalen Hurts and guys like Nick Sirianni. Most guys who are able to do it not once but twice, you're talking about legacy-defining wins, and then it's almost impossible for anyone to... We still have the Jalen Hurts debate after he won Super Bowl MVP. If he does it a second time, it's really becomes difficult to argue against him.
As you said with the Chiefs, three straight Super Bowls, that says something about them. I believe they lost Tyreek Hill after the first one. I mean, they had to replace players. They've been doing it.
Every team ever who wins multiple championships or stays good like this has to replace players, replace coordinators, play the toughest schedules, and do it with the worst draft picks. And the best run organizations find a way to plow through it and don't lower those.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
ARK Raiders. A multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Kleenex Lotion Tissues. You can't predict sick days, but with Kleenex Lotion Tissues, you can be better prepared for them while helping keep your skin healthy. Whether it's a surprise sneeze or a stuffy nose, it's always good to have something gentle on hand. Kleenex Lotion Tissues moisturize to help prevent skin irritation while you're battling those unwanted cold and flu symptoms. It's extra care when you need it most. I mean, why not have one less thing to worry about when you're not feeling your best? For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.
Expectations, and I'm unwilling to do so with the Eagles.
And the dynasties are the ones that have the people in place to replace the people they're losing, to put people in there that can do the job just as well, if not better. I feel damn good about it. E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles, brother.
There we go, Tom. Appreciate the call as always. Like, it's going to be tough. I acknowledge it's going to be tough. We're sitting here on May 17th. We're still, let me do some quick math here. What, 4 months, three and a half, 4 months before this season actually kicks off, and we'll hear about all the training camp battles, and maybe they'll make another move prior to the season beginning, and everything will change. But as I sit here on May 17th, I have already heard, really in the last month or so, and it really seemed to escalate with this schedule release the other day, a lot of, you know what, maybe this is a setback year. Maybe they're playing more so for 2026. Maybe we shouldn't have the same expectations for this year that we did a year ago. And I'm sitting here saying why. Other teams who hold themselves to the quote-unquote gold standard don't do that. The Kansas City Chiefs do not consider it a successful season losing. They walked to the AFC Championship every single year, and more than half the time end up in the Super Bowl. That is the standard the Eagles are at for me right now. That is where I hold this team. If Jalen Hurts is as good as a lot of the city thinks he is, if this roster is as talented as we saw they are a year ago, with certain guys, a lot of members of the defense especially, a lot of young talent, going to be a year older, Jalen Carter a year older and more into his prime, Cooper DeJean a year older, Reed Blankenship a year older, like, a lot of Jordan Davis hopefully takes a significant step up. A lot of talent that I expect to Nolan Smith really ascend and be even better than we saw a year ago. We have Zach Bond coming back. I absolutely refuse to move the goalposts for this team. I refuse to lower my expectations for the 2025 Eagles. I want to know where you are. Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. It's Buzz with you. Louis Coco is behind the glass. 215-592-9494 is how you get in on this Saturday morning, filling in for Devin Caney and Ruben Amaro Jr. Devin Caney down at the Eagles Autism Challenge. If anyone's down there and wants to give us some boots on the ground reporting on how that is going, would love to hear from you. I saw a video before we got on the air this morning. I believe it was Jalen Hurts and Brandon Graham were down there sending off the 30-mile bike riders. And then I believe there was also a 5K and like a mile long walk. So whatever your physical limits are, that there was certainly a lane for you this morning, and obviously all the money going to a very, very good cause with the Eagles Autism Challenge. We, of course, here at the station do our radiothon every, you know, September that goes to the Eagles Autism Challenge. So, it's really grown into something huge and a really cool event that happens each May down at the Link. Also, the Phillies fantastic auction that with a PH has been going on right now. A lot of cool items. Don't know if you've looked at any of them, Louis Coco, who is producing. I For the second straight year, you can play video games with Joe Giglio and Hugh Douglas on Fanavision. I was actually at the game last year. I was up in the press box when they were doing that. Pretty cool. Like, they were playing MLB The Show, and then I think they got Mario Kart up there or something like that.
Classic.
Pretty cool. It's a little bit better than playing on your TV at home. So that was pretty cool to see. You can have... It is interesting. Like, Nick Sirianni does lunch and compete for the Eagles auction. I noticed Rob Thompson does not do lunch and compete with him. It's a little bit more of a leisurely thing. He does lunch and watch batting practice. Not getting the same fire out of Thompson that I'm getting out of Sirianni, but whatever it is, multiple good causes kind of being donated to here, whether it's the Eagles Autism Challenge right now, the Phillies Fantastic Auction, which goes to Phillies Charity. So a lot of cool things to bid on, and including a few experiences here at the station. So be sure to check those out. In just 1 minute, we will get back into the Eagles schedule. Some audio from Mike North, the vice president of the scheduling committee, on why the Cowboys in week one. Also want to give a few takeaways on this schedule as well. But first, let's go to Mike in South Philly, who I believe's phone is a little bit better now and not parking anymore. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I enjoy your show very much.
Yeah, of course.
Like I said, the Eagles are going to be the home. I mean, every team, everything's got to come through Philly. We know how good the Eagles are. We have a team together that's young. They put that final piece with that Barkley on the team last year. That was the final piece they needed. We're good. We got players that are in our prime. I wouldn't accept nothing less than the championship. Nothing less. You know what I mean? You have to meet us in the championship if you want to get to the Super Bowl. I think Kansas City, I can say their era is over. We broke their backs. They don't want to come back to Philly. I think Buffalo over there on the West. I think it's their time. But I'm going to guarantee you, everything's got to come through Philly. I would accept nothing less than a championship.
I got you, Mike. And I'm sorry, we just have to move on. Whether it's parking or he's in a wind tunnel, Lewis, not your fault. It happens. But I got his point. Listen, I just don't want to. And there are people who are always going to say nothing less than a championship is okay. That's also, I think, too far in the other direction. Like, there are seasons where rebuilding is going to happen. There are seasons where, like, the Sixers this season, quite frankly, I know it's, for all these years, the process has been ultimately to win a championship. But if they made it to the conference final, if they were the Knicks right now, and then they lost in the conference finals, we would feel a lot differently about the success level of this season than the way that actually went. The Eagles are coming off winning the Super Bowl, so therefore the expectations raise. I don't think the blanket statement of we always expect a Super Bowl is correct. I also don't think the lowering the goalpost because the schedule looks tough and we lost however many defensive starters and we lost our offensive coordinator and Jalen Hurts needs to play better. I don't think that's correct either. So I guess I'm a little bit in the middle of it, but because of how the Eagles ended last year, absolutely, absolutely feel like there are far too many people lowering the bar, moving the goalpost for the 2025 Eagles. And frankly, I'm sick of it. So I want to know if you agree at 215-592-9494. All right. So Mike North, who again is an NFL executive, he's on the NFL scheduling committee, was asked directly why, this was, I believe, from yesterday or Thursday, was asked why the Cowboys week one against the Eagles and not, say, the Commanders, not, say, the, you know, not the Rams, not one of the other strong teams the Eagles have on the stronger teams, frankly, have on their home schedule this year. Take a listen. Why the Dallas Cowboys?
There were a lot of good options. We looked at Denver. We looked at Washington. We looked at Detroit. All would have been great. Rams would have been good. What it came down to, honestly, on Dallas was these last couple of years, it feels like the fans haven't gotten full value, really, out of Cowboys-Eagles. That's one of the top, you know, five games of the year, every year when we go into it, thinking about these two Cowboys-Eagles games. And so it's usually kind of one early and one late. Well, these last couple of years, that one late hasn't really panned out the way we'd all hoped, whether it was somebody had quarterback injury or records were a little disappointing, or heck, we had a year where the Eagles had a playoff spot clinched and by the time they got to the Cowboys game. So thinking about getting one of those in early, can't get any earlier than week one. Both teams undefeated. Dak coming back. New coach. And you know the Eagles fans are probably pretty excited about hanging a banner in front of the Cowboys. So it felt like a really good opportunity and a chance to go really big in maybe a window we don't usually go really big. But I think that's a consistent theme throughout the whole schedule.
So a few takeaways from this and the Eagles playing Dallas week one. Number one is, obviously, they are still the Dallas Cowboys. Obviously, people may not like it. I was producing the morning show all week, and this game actually got announced on Monday on the Today Show. Mike Tirico was on there and announced this game before any of the other schedule leaks, which, also, side note, the schedule leaks have gotten way out of hand. Like, I appreciate what the NFL tries to do in building up their schedule announcement more so than any other league does. The Phillies, or not the Phillies, Major League Baseball, just kind of like hands the schedule out, and when no one's asking for it at like 11 a.m. on a Tuesday in July, and there is zero build up to it whatsoever. NBA, there's a little bit of anticipation. NHL, not really. The NFL does build up anticipation, and they've done this new thing with like leaking games recently, which does build some discussion, build some discourse. It went too far this year. We knew like six or seven of the games, and then ultimately the whole schedule before it even came out at 8 o'clock on Wednesday. So that did go, I think, a little too far, because that defeats the purpose of having the announcement and the show on ESPN and NFL Network anyway. But them playing the Cowboys week one, like, John Ritchie was all up in arms, and a lot of the callers were too, how the Cowboys status has elevated by playing in this game. The contrary opinion, which is more so the opinion I have, I don't know, it's pretty cool to raise the banner in front of the Dallas Cowboys, shove it in their faces. I need a side-by-side camera on Jerry Jones while the banner is unveiled week one against them. That's the way I lean, more so than the Cowboys status is being elevated. I'm over the Cowboys status being elevated kind of thing. We know that regardless of the fact they've had zero success to back it up in my or Lewis's lifetime, like literally this century, they still have, it's not even just the largest fan base, but think about it from this perspective. Even if you tune in to root against the Dallas Cowboys, that's still eyeballs. They're still the most polarizing franchise in the league, and just the same way like the Chiefs are. Like, even if people hate Mahomes or hate the Chiefs, you're still more readily going to tune into a Cowboys game or a Chiefs game than you are a game with the Minnesota Vikings or a game with the Los Angeles Chargers or the Jaguars or whoever it is. So therefore, it doesn't matter why people are tuning in, whether they like them or hate them, they're still tuning in. And that's all they care about. That's all they care about is ratings. And the last thing is, I actually do buy Mike North's argument here of, we have not necessarily gotten the most out of Eagles Cowboys. There have been a number of times where the game didn't really mean a whole lot to one of the teams. Either Hurts or Dak got hurt. I think there have been more times since Jalen Hurts has been the Eagles starter, that either him or Dak Prescott was injured for an Eagles Cowboys game than they were actually both on the field. And by doing it this way, you pretty much guarantee that they are both going to be on the field. So I actually don't think, like, the afternoon show played this yesterday and they thought it was kind of a load of BS. Like, no, this is just your excuse for getting the Cowboys audience into week one. I think there is some legitimacy to what he just said there, because we do not always, Eagles Cowboys has been saturated on multiple occasions over the last couple of years. So I was ultimately fine with it. I think it's a good week one opponent. I think it's probably the easiest game the Eagles have in the first 3 weeks, and they're going to have to build up some wins somewhere. And we know they oftentimes start slow just because they don't play guys in the preseason. It takes a little bit to get amped up for the year and in the midseason form. I was totally okay with it, not just because they're raising the banner in front of Jerry, but also because this will actually pretty much guarantee we're getting a much better Eagles-Cowboys game than we have in years past. Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. It's Buzz with you. Lewis Coco is behind the glass. We are sitting in for Ruben Amaro Jr. and Devin Caney here on this Saturday morning. Happy to be with you. Hopefully, the start to your weekend is treating you well. Phillies got the win last night over the Pirates. Nice little start to rivalry weekend in Major League Baseball, because, allow me to be the millionth person to say, apparently the Phillies and Pirates are rivals. Once upon a time, did share a spot in the division. I get it to a little bit of an extent. At least there's like some, there's a state rivalry.
Yeah, we occupy the same state.
We occupy the same state for people who maybe went to Penn State or some other state school. Probably an overlap between Phillies and Pirates fans. Always a pleasure when these two teams get together. They don't play each other as much as they used to. Now, do I think there's a vengeance between the Phillies and Pirates anymore? No. However, you know, whatever. If this is how they want to brand it, rivalry weekend, that's fine. That is okay with me because it is a fun series, and hopefully the Phillies can at minimum get 2 of 3 this weekend. We will get more into the Phils in the next segment here. But before we go back to the phones and before we hear from Brian Dawkins on Jalen Hurts, did want to introduce our side topic here this morning. And so if anyone missed it, in the world of the NBA, the Knicks closed out the Celtics last night. Obviously, Jason Tatum went down towards Achilles in this series. He was going to be out for the remainder of the playoffs and for a large portion, if not the entirety of next year, which slanted things heavily in the Knicks' favor. So they win the series 4-2. They advance to the conference finals. And one of the side stories of this entire series has been Timothy Chalamet, you know, French actor, Hollywood hunk, dating Kylie Jenner. I got the right one, right? Kylie Jenner?
I have no idea. I don't keep up with
I think that. Kylie, because Ben Simmons, I think, dated Kendall Jenner.
And that was a disaster.
And he's dating Kylie Jenner, right? So, there were photos of them at game 4, and he's at game 6, and he is going ballistic, going nuts in the streets of New York last night after they win this second round series. Now, I can't stand New York sports fans. I can't stand the Knicks. I very much hope the Pacers win this next series. However, I can't help but think about how much Timothy Chalamet specifically has rebranded himself. This guy, I felt like, was known as I said, Hollywood hunk, French actor. Yeah, he's from New York, but not really in touch with the common man. And Lewis, by all accounts, he had that one appearance on College Game Day, showed the world, showed all the, you know, the sports bros in America that he knows ball. And now, like, he's like the everyman. He's
certified
the everyman
ball knower.
He's certified ball knower, certified everyman. And it's like, you know, women, it's the classic, like, women want to be with him and men want to be him kind of thing, but also men like him. Like, he doesn't seem pompous in any way. He seems relatable. He was going nuts in the streets of New York last night after the Knicks win. So I view this as a total rebrand. His brand seemed to completely shift after that game day appearance, more so than anyone I've ever seen do so after something like that. Exactly. And yes, and that was Adam Sandler saying his name because it's like it's a funny Sandler-like noise is Chalamet. I can't think of anyone rebranding themselves quite like he did after a game day or an appearance in like a sports interview type of thing, quite like Timothy Chalamet has. So when you call in today, give me someone who rebranded themselves. Give me someone who was completely known for one thing and is entirely known for anything, for something else now. It could be an image change. It could be two separate careers a guy had. Like, I'll give you another example just to get the ball rolling more here. Michael Strahan was sitting courtside at Knicks Celtics last night. He is now known as the fluffy TV guy who hosts Good Morning America, who just happened to used to play football. He's now been doing the TV thing, I think officially longer than he ever did the football thing, and the guy was a Hall of Famer. But he is, like, so many more people now know Strahan as this, you know, good-looking TV guy who closed the gap, not the, you know, aggressive, you know, guy with a chip on his shoulder going up against John Runyon. Not the same guy. Two totally separate things. He rebranded himself. So when you call in, give me someone who rebranded themselves. Before we go back to the phones, Lewis, give me someone in any walk of life. Could be sports, could be pop culture, could be music, could be whatever. Someone who rebranded themselves.
This is going back 30-something years ago, before I was born, before you were born, Buzz. Yeah. How about that Prince? Prince okay. rebranded himself to literally an unpronounceable symbol. You can't pronounce it. The Warner Brothers, his record label, literally sent out floppy disks with this symbol on it because it wasn't even on the keyboard. And then they started referring to him as the artist formerly known as Prince.
That's a good one. Yeah. There you go.
But he literally rebranded himself.
He did. But he was always known for music, though. It's not like he'd had two separate careers.
But he changed his... all right, that's fair. All right.
It's like, yeah,
I thought it was a haymaker.
I see what you're going for. When you call in, give me someone to rebrand themselves.
We need a ruling on that.
The way that Timothy... I'm the ruling here. It's a one-man court. One-man jury, I guess. Give me someone to rebrand themselves the way that Timothy Chalamet has now rebranded himself into the sports bro, but also being like this Hollywood hunk actor. As they say in Seinfeld, he's a male bimbo. He's a mimbo. But yet he also loves sports and parties outside the garden. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Dave in Lansdale really quickly here before the break. What's up, Dave?
Morning, Buzz.
Yeah, what do you want to say?
Yeah, as far as the Eagles, I mean, I think a Super Bowl is the expectation. Like, I think they can legitimately get back there if they're all healthy. What I have to see is a new offensive coordinator be successful and move the ball against good defenses, against good teams. If he does that in the regular season, then I think I'll be sold that they can do it in the playoffs. Just the whole Brian Johnson new OC and not being able to move the ball against the Bucs, albeit without A.J. Brown. That's what I have to see. But I think they have all the talent in the world to get repeat.
Hey, well, and even if it's not a repeat, even if it's not like literally win the Super Bowl again, why have we lowered the expectations to like anything short of at minimum, an NFC championship game appearance? That needs to be the minimum of what is acceptable for us to consider it a successful season. There is no way that I can accept anything less. The stakes have been raised too high. Howie Roseman is too good of a general manager. This Nick Sirianni has now proven himself to be, I think, a really good coach. Jalen Hurts has shown us to at least some extent what he is capable of in big games like the NFC Championship, like the Super Bowl. I want more. I don't understand the people who have proclaimed this a step back year or have said, I'm content with winning last year, therefore I don't have the same fire to win it again.
Yeah, I mean, from what I hear on the radio, it sounds like people are concerned with, defensively who we lost, but they still have a lot of playmakers. I mean, Cooper DeJean, Quinyon Mitchell, Jalen Carter, Zach Bond, on every level they have playmakers. So I think the defense losing players is why people might, think there's a regression. But, I mean, I don't think it's crazy at all, to think they can get back to the NFC championship game with the offensive line and the offense they have.
I got you, Dave. Do you have someone who rebranded themselves?
Yeah, I want to go Brock Lesnar, huge WWE star, and then, UFC champion.
Dave, I appreciate the call. That might be the best answer we get all day, Lewis. The shame of it is I have no idea who that is. I have never heard of Brock Lesnar in my life.
You never heard of Brock Lesnar?
I'm not much of a WWE or UFC guy.
He's I can't remember his agent's name, but he's like my agent. No, whatever. Brock Lesnar, yeah, he's like this giant meathead guy.
Then what did he rebrand himself to? Just a UFC guy?
I think he went from a good guy to a heel. I think is the way.
So John Cena could be another.
Yeah, I was going to say you took a big one off.
Just
the
took
board
a big there. One off the board. 215-592-9494 is how you get in. Just to quickly recap, I believe we need to stop moving the goalposts in for the 2025 Eagles. I want to know where you stand on that. Also, Eagle schedule reactions. We'll take your calls on that, as well as who rebranded themselves. It's all on the table here on a Saturday morning. Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. It's Buzz with you. Lewis Coco is behind the glass. 215-592-9494 is how you get in, filling in for Ruben Amaro Jr. and Devin Caney here on this Saturday morning. They'll be back next week. Devin Caney doing the Eagles Autism Challenge, as many members of our WIP and Odyssey family are this morning, and maybe some of you out there as well, driving to and from the event, participating, obviously contributing in some way to a good cause. We're holding down the fort, talking all things Eagles, how I feel too many people are moving the goalposts on the 2025 Eagles, and I really need this team back in the Super Bowl and in the NFC Championship at minimum. for me to even consider considering this upcoming season a success. So I want to know if people agree on that, your reactions to the schedule, playing Dallas week one, as well as who rebranded themselves. Now, in just 1 minute, I had been teasing it, so I do want to get to that audio of Brian Dawkins from the morning show, as well as a few notes and takeaways from last night's Phillies game. But before we do any of that, I want to get to Audrey in South Philly, who's been waiting patiently. What's up, Audrey?
Hey, good morning, Buzz. How you doing today?
Doing great.
I agree. I couldn't agree with you more, Buzz. I think the Eagles should get back to at least the championship game. You got to play the schedule. The last time the Eagles played their schedule, they went to the Super Bowl and won it. They played the Kansas City. They played Denver. They played, and they killed. And they lost to Kansas City that year, but they lost by 4 points. And they killed. They killed Denver. And I know that's a long time ago, but you know, I think we're catching Kansas City off on a good time week two. They're going. They got to go play in. They got to go to where? I forget where they got to go. Where we went last year. They got to go there and play, and they got to come back. I know they're home, but they have to come back, and that's going to be a day of traveling.
Yeah, I actually, so just a few, and I actually meant to give this earlier. So,
and we got a 10-day, and we got a 10-day break after we play the Cowboys.
Audrey, I actually wanted to mention this. So a few thoughts on the schedule that I wanted to dive more into. That I'm glad you brought this up. So a couple things. Number one, to your point, going to the Chiefs week two, I wish that game was a little bit later in the season. I'll be honest. I wish it was in a more prime time.
Yeah, kind of like the Monday night game. What time of the season that was?
Yeah,
I was thinking that when I was on the while I was waiting on hold.
So
I was thinking the same.
I'm actually kind of surprised. I know the Eagles have the Black Friday game against the Bears. Surprised they didn't get a Thanksgiving or a Christmas game here as the defending champions. But if you want to look at strictly like schedule structure here, if you want to dive into the weeds of it, the only team the Eagles play coming off a bye, meaning that the team's going to have like, you know, a week off leading into playing the Eagles, is that week 7 game in Minnesota. So that only happens once. They have a week 9 bye, which is significantly better than that week.
Way better.
You know, that they had the earliest bye possible last year. I think it was in week 5. So this is way better. It's a little bit more spread out. So both of those things I think are positives. A lot of people were making a big deal of the fact that the Eagles don't have back-to-back home games at any point this season, which is a little unique and interesting. And they're also
it is the first time a Super Bowl champion team hasn't had it. But
overall,
we didn't have it in 08, and we went to the championship game in 08. So
I got you, Audrey. Give me someone who rebranded themselves.
Michael Vick.
That's a really, really good one, Audrey. Appreciate the call. When Lewis and I were talking in the break about this side topic, that was one of the haymaker answers that I was hoping someone gave themselves.
And then I went with Prince anyway.
Listen, Michael Vick, obviously what he did was horrible. And there are always going to be a pocket of the population who will never be able to forgive him for what he did. And if that is how you feel, I'm not going to be the one to push back on that at all. However, if there is room in your heart or in your conscience to forgive what he did and believe that someone can rehabilitate themselves, Michael Vick, by all accounts, has done everything possible to put that, you know, that incident he had early in his career, I mean, the dogfighting ring, early in his career behind him. He came to the Eagles, played, had no issues. He went to the Steelers after that. Might have been another team in there that I'm forgetting. He's now does TV. He's a family man with kids. By all accounts, publicly, he has had zero trouble after that. Doesn't excuse away what he did, but kind of my go-to example of when you look at celebrities who do something stupid in their career and then try and bounce back from it, it's almost gotten to the point where people, I don't want to say forget about it, but it's really not mentioned. It's really not the first thing people think of because that was, all the way back in 2007? It really does feel like a long time ago. And I think absolutely he has rebranded himself to be likable, at least with the majority of the population. 215-592-9494 is how you get in. All right. Been teasing this for a little bit. Got to get to it here. Brian Dawkins, Eagles great, maybe the greatest Eagle to ever do it. On the morning show this week. It was in studio. Pretty cool. though we had him in studio because he's not in the area. He comes back to the area frequently, but doesn't reside in the area, to my knowledge. But he was asked about Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts. Thought he gave a very, very interesting answer evaluating the Eagles QB. Take a listen to what Brian Dawkins said.
What Jalen has done is he flashed us in the first Super Bowl. Tremendous, right? So in my mind, that's what you should be doing every week. Mm-hmm. And when you're not doing that every week, like, so why can't we get that? Why can't we get that?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we get that? So it's for me, it's not you are I don't bash Jalen when it comes to that. I don't bash him. I'm expecting him to take the next step so that your weeks aren't fluctuating up and down so drastically, that you are consistently at a level that allows you to show the talent that you are and all the respects that you're talking about, to being mm-hmm. able to run the football when it needs to be run, knowing to making those decisions, putting the ball where it needs to be put. He's shown that, and he's done it now, not just in the first Super Bowl. He's shown it in the second one, too. So now this year coming up, like, I'm expecting a version of that. Maybe not to that level, but a high version of that consistently throughout that year. That's what I'm expecting.
I think that might have been one of the most on-the-money takes on Jalen Hurts that I've heard from anyone. And, of course, it comes from Eagles great Brian Dawkins. The conversation around the Eagles quarterback has gotten to a point where it is so drastic, and I think so wrong on both ends at times, that I can't even stand it. And I know we spend so much time talking about the quarterback as a fan base on the station, on social media, and rightfully so. It is the most polarizing position in all of sports, or the most talked about position in all of sports, is always going to be your quarterback, and especially in a city like Philadelphia. And for some people, I get it. They go, oh, well, he won Super Bowl MVP. That should be the end of it. I don't agree with that. Let me be clear. I am a fan of Jalen Hurts. I think he is really good. But I do not think that winning the Super Bowl MVP basically gets him out of being discussed, and sometimes discussed negatively, having his flaws discussed negatively. Winning Super Bowl MVP should not save you, should not protect you from any and all discussion of how good you actually are. I think he's a very good quarterback. I still don't think he's elite. I don't think he's better than Mahomes. I don't think he's better than Josh Allen. I don't think he's better than Joe Burrow. Certainly he's won more than all of those guys, or I don't think he's as good as Lamar Jackson. I think he's definitely won more, tangibly, factually, more than Mahomes. But there are things that he has done inconsistently, and you heard Brian Dawkins allude to it there. What he showed us in the NFC Championship and the Super Bowl and in the regular season, mostly in the Steelers game, he flashed us, just as Brian Dawkins said. He showed us what he is capable of doing. The difference between good players, really good players, and great players is to what level of consistency they can show he is great. Jalen Hurts gets all the accolades in the world for doing it in the biggest moments, in the biggest spots. He will always be remembered positively in Philadelphia because he did that. But to be remembered as being great, you need to play great week after week after week after week after week. And I don't like when people who either call the station or talk online or wherever Eagles conversation happens, wherever Jalen Hurts conversation happens, that people do this revisionist history thing of, no, he was really good all year and people are just Jalen Hurts haters. That is not true. There, you cannot have watched the Eagles all season long and say that the way he played in the NFC Championship, in the Super Bowl, and again in that Steelers game, matched what he did the rest of the season. And I'm also not suggesting that to some extent, some of that was not by design. Some of that was, you had the best running back in the league. Some of that was Jalen Hurts was good at running and getting the ball out quickly to your weapons. So therefore, he did not need to be a great passer to win a lot of those games. I acknowledge that. I understand that. But the people, hopefully Brian Dawkins saying it can put to bed once and for all this, like, Jalen Hurts, you know, fanboy section of the fan base who cannot acknowledge that the guy had flaws, had games in which he did not show us he was great, had a number of games where he did it. That was actually the majority of the time. He stepped up when it mattered most, and he should always be revered for that. Should never buy a drink in this town again. This, that, and the third. But to say that the guy does not have flaws, to not understand why some people are reluctant to put him in that elite class, because those other elite guys I mentioned, while most of them don't have the Lombardi or the Super Bowl MVP to show for it, the reality is that those guys play great games or really, really good games in the passing game far more often than Jalen Hurts do. And that is what Brian Dawkins is saying. And if for this team to reach its goal in the year 2025, in a season where Saquon Barkley very, very likely is not going to have the same success that he had a year ago. If he rushes for 2,000 yards again, he'll be the first guy in the history of the league to do so. Jalen Hurts is going to need to be great more often than he was a year ago. And I think that is an incredibly fair thing to say. And this is coming from someone who likes Jalen Hurts. I enjoy watching him play. I think he is very, very good. But it's okay to have an honest conversation about the quarterback. And that was my biggest takeaway from what Brian Dawkins said right there. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Carl in Mapleshade. Before, in just 1 minute, we will get to some stuff that happened in the Phillies game last night as well. What's up, Carl? Carl. Carl going once, twice. Let's put him back on hold. Let's go to Mike in Holland. I know he wants to get on the Phils, and we're about to talk about them anyway. So let's get Mike on the horn here. What's up, Mike?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, good morning.
Yeah, so Nola, wanted to get your opinion on where you think this is headed. I mean, obviously he has, you know, he's obviously injured, right? I don't think anybody can question that. And he magically hurts his ankle and goes on the tee.
Well, he had the worst start of his career on Wednesday night. So, I don't want to say I'm relieved that he's injured, because this guy's calling card has been his durability, and he's never on the injured list ever. But I'm almost somewhat relieved that to hear that there is, like, almost an excuse or some level of an excuse to some extent,
right,
why
right.
he has just been, doesn't excuse the other starts, but why he was so awful on Wednesday night.
So do we think this is going to fast track Painter to come up? Does that change their plan?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ark Raiders. A multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Hi, DSW. birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This podcast is brought to you by Kleenex Lotion Tissues. You can't predict sick days, but with Kleenex Lotion Tissues, you can be better prepared for them while helping keep your skin healthy. Whether it's a surprise sneeze or a stuffy nose, it's always good to have something gentle on hand. Kleenex Lotion Tissues moisturize to help prevent skin irritation while you're battling those unwanted cold and flu symptoms. It's extra care when you need it most. I mean, why not have one less thing to worry about when you're not feeling your best? For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.
At all,
I don't think so. Listen, we don't know how long Aaron Nola will be out for. I tend to think not. They're calling up Mick Abel to start tomorrow. They moved Christopher Sanchez back a day to pitch Monday in Colorado. And then the plan after that is the spot will be filled by Taiwan Walker. So based upon what they've already announced, I tend to think not. I don't think they want to fast track Painter just because Nola is out. I think their plan for Andrew Painter is what their plan for Andrew Painter is going to be, unaffected by this. And Taiwan Walker has given you pretty good starts so far this season, and also relatively good out of, I guess he's only been out of the bullpen now just a handful of times. But I think they feel confident enough in what Walker can give them. Now, if Walker reverts back to last year, Taiwan Walker, then maybe the Painter noise gets a little bit louder if Nola's still not ready to go. But I don't think at this point it's in the plans.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it pans out.
Definitely. Hey, you have someone who rebranded themselves?
So I have a reverse rebrand, if you will.
All right. Well, that's allowed to.
Okay. O.J. Simpson.
Oh, that's it's a good one, Mike. Appreciate the call. That is, you want to talk about a great, so something we haven't hit on all morning that I did want to mention is obviously the big news with Pete Rose this week, right? That by all accounts, I am not old enough to have watched either Pete Rose or O.J. Simpson ever play their sports. I know them for what everyone else knows them now. And it feels like for my entire life, this Pete Rose saga has been going on. And frankly, the O.J. Simpson reputation thing has gone on. It's still a story that people love to tell. Documentaries have come out on both. They both recently passed, actually. There are plenty of people who are Hall of Fame athletes, Hall of Famers at what they do, Pete Rose being one of the best baseball players of all time, the all-time hits leader, and O.J. Simpson being one of the best running backs of all time, went for 2,000 yards in 14 games, which by all accounts was a menace on the field. But off the field, obviously, these people are not great people. Pete Rose did himself no favors after his career ended. He did no favors during his managerial career. He did himself no favors when he went on the TV broadcast a few years ago and spewed unbelievably inappropriate things, or said inappropriate things to reporters, and specifically female reporters. The guy was a jerk, was an ass, was every possible thing. The whole, like, you want to talk, and both of those guys rebranded themselves, because if you talk to anyone, it's really just boiled down to a generational thing. If you talk to anyone who watched Pete Rose play, they all loved watching him play, and I'm sure it sucks. I cannot even imagine what it must be like. Like, imagine if Bryce Harper, and I know earlier in his career he was known as like an on-field jerk, but never did any of the stuff Pete Rose did. Imagine if Bryce Harper, who we all, or most of us, enjoy watch playing day in and day out, and let's say the Phillies won the World Series and like Harper was the MVP, the face of it, turned out to be like one of the biggest jerks of all time and did all the stuff Pete Rose did. I'm sure, I think eventually I would distance myself from my fandom of that guy. I do think that. But I'm sure it would be difficult for me because I have a stronger attachment. I almost feel inadequate in a sense to talk about Pete Rose because of that. I didn't see the player side. I've only seen the awful side of the guy. And with O.J. Simpson, you know, the trial happened before I was born. You know, he was found innocent, but everyone pretty unanimously agrees he did it. Like, he was a bad guy. And The Hall of Fame is going to have to make a really big decision. I'm very fascinated to see what happens in... I also can't believe that Pete Rose is still not even going to get voted on for the Hall of Fame until 2027. He wouldn't go in until 2028 with his Veterans Committee. There's like a real moral dilemma that the voters are going to have, which I do believe they... I think should have been put to a vote a long time ago. I think it should have been reinstated a long time ago, not just this cowardly BS of... will do it after he passes away because he can't do any more harm, basically. That someone like him should have been voted upon earlier because it's up to the voters how much the morality stuff matters, how much any of the off-the-field stuff matters. Is the Hall of Fame take into account what type of person you were? Is that part of your image? Or is it what you do on the field? I would tend to lean, frankly, on the field. I think it's... If you want to asterisk it, if you want to say in his speech what a horrible guy he was, I almost think that's fine. I think that's all part of the guy's image. But we do so much Hall of Fame discussion, and O.J. Simpson and Pete Rose, both Hall of Famers, and we do it for guys' numbers. And O.J. Simpson, the only reason he's in the Hall of Fame is because he got in before it. We don't take guys out of the Hall of Fame once they do something wrong, so why do we prevent them from going in when they did? It's a really, really right. murky thing. But I'm actually glad that he brought up OJ there because it got me into the Pete Rose thing. I think Pete Rose never was accused of murdering someone, but similar cases in the sense that they're both regarded as horrible people who were really good at their sport.
And do you think it might change Pete Rose's status too with the Hall of Fame because he was betting on baseball and OJ was something removed from football?
So here's my take on specifically the betting aspect of Pete Rose, which is that he was a great player. We only know he did this as a manager. I do not, people made the argument, I was producing the morning show the day after this news came out, and people like to make the argument that Pete Rose only bet on his own team. I don't buy that for a second because he only bet on his own team on certain days, which means that if you're betting on your team on Friday, you're now not using your best relief pitchers, your best lineup on Thursday because you're more focused on winning the next day's game because that's when you have financial interest in it. So as a manager, like, no, that he needed to be removed from baseball for that. But the playing thing, like, the gambling didn't impact him getting 4,000 hits. Like, the all-time hits leader not having some level of recognition in Cooperstown just feels wrong. People love to use the cliche of you can't tell the story of baseball without this guy. Love him or hate him, and frankly, as a person, I can't stand the guy. He is a large portion of the story of baseball, and we've almost spent more. I think we've spent my entire life debating this, and here it is. It's finally going to get to a vote in the year 2028. Maybe he goes in. It's like, we've almost given the guy more, if we really don't like the guy, we've given it more attention than if we just put him in to begin with. It's the whole thing has really just made me sour on, I'm just so soured and so sick of the whole conversation. I almost hope he gets in just to finally put it to rest, because otherwise it's going to keep growing legs. All right, segment got away from me there. 215-592-9494. That is how you get in. If you want to chime in on the Pete Rose news this week, that is on the table as well. It was really a busy week for sports. Busier than usual for, you know, I'll say the second week of May, and we don't even have the basketball or hockey team playing. The Flyers hired Rick Tocchet as a head coach. I'm curious to get Lewis's thoughts, big hockey guy, on that before we get out of here. Sixers got the number 3 pick this week. And I do need to give my thoughts on the Phillies game last night and actually play some audio from something really funny that happened on the TV broadcast. Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. It's Buzz with you. Lewis Coco is behind the glass. 215-592-9494 is how you get in. I'll be back with you guys tomorrow from 7 to 11 p.m. Riding solo for 4 hours. So looking forward to that Sunday night show. And, you know, probably, you know, hopefully recapping a Phillies Pirates series where they've won at least 2 of 3. I'm actually looking forward to that game tomorrow. Paul Skeens pitching against the Phillies, pitching at Citizens Bank Park. So that should be fun. Maybe we'll get a spotting of Jolly's girl, Livy Dunn. What do we think, Lewis? Will he be in the crowd?
You caught me so off guard.
Do we think Jolly makes his way down to the ballpark to try and spot her tomorrow?
I didn't think about it. Yeah. My knee jerk is totally
has
Jolly
to,
will
right?
Be there.
He's dealing on a Sunday and rivalry weekend. Have to imagine she'll be there.
Have to be. Well, now will she be in a box seat? I guess so. I would assume
probably.
So Jolly can't
either that or in a very, very prestigious like front row type of deal where.
Do you think she wants the TV to catch her there?
Put it this way. Wherever she's sitting, I'm going to guess it's not highly accessible to the general public.
And Jolly's the general public.
I don't. I mean, listen, who am I? She'll probably be in her own private area.
Yeah.
The general public, that's not a knock on Jolly. Just in general, it won't be easy for anyone to get there. So we'll keep our eyes on a potential Livy Dunn sightings.
Didn't think of that.
At CBP this weekend. Phillies did get the win. 8-4 over the Pirates last night. It was another one of those games where it felt like the offense just wasn't going to come to show up. Frankly, not going to lie, the Pirates pitching staff issuing so many walks. The Pirates, by the way, had 8 walks last night, and I think like 4 or 5 of them led to runs. I mean, listen to this bottom of the 7th inning if you missed it. So, starts with a Kepler flyout. Rojas walks. Trey Turner singles to center. That made it first and second. Harper walks. Schwarber walks. The inning started with a Pirates 3-1 lead. Schwarber walked to make it 3-2. Castellanos got hit by a pitch to make it 3-3. Romuta walked to make it 4-3. And Bohm hit a sack fly to make it 5-3. So not exactly the Phillies hitting the cover off the ball. You take what you can get, not chasing pitches out of the zone. You love to see it. But the Phillies ended up putting 8 runs up last night. Then Turner hit a triple in the 8th, made it 6-3. Harper had a single to make it 7-3. Castellanos hit a ground out to make it 8-3. Ultimately, the game got a little bit closer than it should have because Rob Thompson tried to get a little cute and put Daniel Robert in the game instead of... That does seem to be his rule of thumb, though. Like, if it's a 4-run game, he'll go to his actual closer. If it's a 5-run game, he'll go to someone else, try and get away with it because you don't want to use Alvarado. Kind of stinks that Robert was thrown into that spot and was not able to get those outs a little bit more quickly. By the way, if you're wondering who the hell is Daniel Robert, he was the 27th man on Wednesday for the doubleheader, got sent back to Lehigh Valley, and then immediately came back up for Friday's game because Aaron Nola got put on the injured list. So that brings us to one of the takeaways from last night. So before the game, Aaron Nola gets put on the IL, his first non-COVID-related IL stint since 2017. So to put that in perspective, the Eagles had 0 Super Bowls the last time Aaron Nola missed time due to like an actual injury. So the way the Phillies are handling this, Nick Abel, who was one of the highest-ranked prospects in the organization in recent years, has kind of taken a bit of a dip. He will make his Major League debut tomorrow in that game against Paul Skeens. Hell of a pitcher to go up against in your opening game. I heard the TV broadcast talking about it last night. It's not as if he's pitching against Skeens. You're pitching against the Pirates offense, which is not exactly anything to write home about. So hopefully Mick Abel has at least a good enough debut to give the Phillies a chance to win in a game where their offense runs will be a little bit more at a premium than they usually are. My logic on this, because they did move Christopher Sanchez back a day, I would think this is just them saying they want Sanchez, they trust him more at Coors Field than they do for Mick Abel. And apparently, Rob Thompson FaceTimed Mick Abel yesterday, made it very clear off the jump, you're coming up here to make one start. You're going right back to Lehigh Valley, so his expectations don't, everyone's on the same page. Good communicator, Rob Thompson, made it very clear. And the plan is that Taijuan Walker will fill that rotation spot 5 days away, like the next time this spot comes up. So I get it. Walker going to the bullpen, you're asking him to come back to be a starter. You probably don't want to just stretch him out right away with 2 days' notice. So Mick Abel will make the start on Sunday. So if you're headed to the game tomorrow, you'll see a Major League debut. Of course, you'll see Paul Skeens, maybe Livy Dunn walking around. So they're all things to keep an eye on. Jordan Romano, kind of working backwards here of what happened in the game. So Jordan Romano pitched a clean 8th inning. He had a 9-pitch 8th inning yesterday, and this was an inning that began with a 4-pitch walk. Like, he walked Andrew McCutchen to lead off the inning with 4 balls, and then managed to get out of the inning in 9 total pitches because Joey Bart grounded into a double play on the second pitch of the at-bat immediately following that, and he got Ke'Bryan Hayes to pop up. Jordan Romano has been tremendous of late, like literally tremendous. I am fully back in on him. This is a guy who was horrendous to start the year. He, Rob Thompson first suggests on April 19th after he allowed 6 runs and nearly blew a laugher in that Saturday game against the Marlins, suggests he might be tipping pitches. The Sunday Night Baseball broadcast a week after that when they're in Chicago said that, yeah, like the Caleb Cotham, Rob Thompson did find something. They think the issue's fixed now. And the guy hasn't allowed a run since. He had his ERA, when he finished that day against the Marlins, his ERA was 15.26. It's down to 7.71. He has cut it right in half in less than a month. I think there was definitely something to it. Maybe there was also a bit of an adjustment period to a new bullpen, new coaching staff, new team, whatever. But there has been a very tangible switch for a guy who we had zero faith in to start the year. Jordan Romano has been absolutely unbelievable. And also worth noting, Jeff Hoffman, because so many people, myself included, were critical of this front office and critical of Dave Dombrowski for not bringing back Jeff Hoffman and bringing back Romano instead. If anyone's paid attention, Hoffman's been horrible lately. Like the last couple of outings he has had, he has been really, really bad, including he allowed a grand slam the other night in like a 5-run outing. So, these guys' stocks could not be going in 2 more different directions. And I think it is worth noting that right now, he absolutely, Romano does, looks like the better guy. Like, so just really quick, May 6th against the Angels, Hoffman allows 3 runs. May 7th against the Angels, allows 3 runs. May 13th, which was a couple of nights ago, he got only 1 out in an outing against the Rays, allows a grand slam, 5 total runs. His ERA is up to 6.05. where it was at 159. So a month ago, Hoffman's ERA was in the ones. It's now in the sixes. Romano's ERA was in the 15s. It's now in the sevens. Inverses of each other. Right now, Jordan Romano looks like the better pitcher. The Phillies and Blue Jays effectively traded closers here this season, or traded relievers, not necessarily closers. And the Phillies, as of right now, winning the trade-off, I thought it was worth noting. And then the last thing is here, congratulations to, well, 2 more things, actually. Bryce Harper did this last night, in case you missed it.
Turner on the move. The pitch floated into left. It's falling. It'll drop for a hit. The Phillies are on the board, and Bryce Harper has RBI number 1,000 in his Major League career. A soft single to left has given the Phillies a 1-0 lead.
Gets career RBI number 1,000. Now, I thought it was interesting because I remember when Ryan Howard got his 1,000th RBI, he didn't do so till 2014. Which is surprising for a guy who is, I think, a better pure power hitter than Harper was for the number of home runs he would hit. And some of those early seasons Howard had, he drove in 149 in 06, 146 in 08, 141 in 2009, and still drove in 100 runs in 10 and 11. So, you know, I get he fell off, had the injury at the end of the division series in 2011, but the fact that it took him so long to get to 1,000 RBIs puts it into perspective. A few other Phillies greats. Jimmy Rollins never even got there. He had 936 RBIs. Obviously, batting the leadoff spot doesn't help. Utley finished with 1,025 RBIs. Schwarber is at 686 RBIs, so still a long ways to go there. And Michael Jack Schmidt, the greatest ever do it in a Phillies uniform, 1,595 RBIs. I think it's certainly attainable for Bryce Harper to get there one day. But so he gets to the 1,000 mark. But the last thing, on a more lighter note, and this was some great work from our friends over at NBC Sports Philadelphia on the TV broadcast. If anyone's noticed watching on TV that they have done, you know, they have a different score bug this year. It's not the same score bug where it goes logo, number of runs, score bug, which of course was great whenever they played the Pirates because it would spell out poop. They opened up the broadcast yesterday. And Tom McCarthy and everyone over there at NBC with a sense of humor, this is how the Phillies game opened last night.
Before we continue with this telecast, we have to address what is on everybody's minds and hearts. July 29th, 2022, our beloved scorebook first lit up the screens here with Phillies television. It was more than just a scoreboard. It was a legend, an unforgettable icon. Its name, once met with chuckles, quickly became synonymous with good times and fierce rivalries. As the final out arrives on its bright and brilliant run, It will be missed. Gone, but never forgotten.
Good for them for having a sense of humor. They knew what everyone was looking for. They knew it became a big social media thing. And good for the producers and T-Mac over at NBC Sports Philly for leaning into the bit, leaning into the joke. Don't know why they got rid of the score bug. It's probably a corporate decision. Don't get mad at them specifically. But just not the same ever since. It's not the poop series anymore. Saw some people in the crowd with signs about it. Can't believe how into it people got. But it was pretty funny. Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. It's Buzz with you. Louis Coco is behind the glass for one more segment before we hand things over to Rob Ellis and Mike Sielski, talking all things Eagles, all things Phillies as well. Going to go back to the phones here in just 1 minute, but Louis, in like 30 seconds or less, I need to get your take on the Flyers hiring of Rick Tocchet. By all accounts, I have not been overly encouraged by the hire, and then hearing the true hockey guys, the Brodes of the world and the people who I follow online who are really in the weeds of Flyers hockey, as I know you are as well, don't seem to be overly enthused by this hire. Where are you at on it? Does the general public, which seems to be kind of meh on the decision, have every right to be, or are you kind of contrarian in the sense?
I think it's a little bit of an extra negative reaction. You're the old boys club thing. Like, oh, they're just hiring another Flyer, blah, blah, blah. Look, I don't really care if he's a Flyer. By the way, he was a Flyer's great, okay? Not all of the guys they hired before were these great players. He's sure in the Hockey Hall of Fame. So I don't really care that he's an ex-Flyer. I don't really care about the old boys club, whatever. I'm kind of indifferent on the hire. I think he's going to have to prove that he can win. He's only taken two teams as a head coach to a Stanley Cup playoff, and as far as he's gone to the second round. So it's not like he's this proven winning head coach. However, he was an assistant coach with the Penguins, won two Stanley Cups with them. He's coached some high-level talent, Steven Stamkos, Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Quinn Huggy Bear Hughes, who has talked about wanting to play with his brothers. His brothers play in Jersey.
You're indifferent. You see why they did it, but you're not overly excited either.
I think he could attract some guys in free agency. It's part of the rebuild. You can't do it all with draft picks. He could, but he also might not. It's one of those things. He needs a year under his belt. We're not going to be winning until 2026 anyway. Maybe take next year to get comfortable and see where he goes.
All right. Well, if you want to react to that, the Flyers hiring of Rick Tocchet. Also, we didn't really get much into the Sixers at all today, but they do, as it currently stands, hold the number 3 pick as determined by the NBA draft lottery. So if people want to give a reaction to that, whether you think they should stay picking there at number 3 or trade out of the pick, and who to pick at number 3, a lot of Ace Bailey discussion on the station this week as well, you're certainly free to do so. Let's go to Brian in Delaware, who's been waiting patiently. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Buzz. Good morning.
Good morning.
First thing, let me just say this to you, man. You did a great job this morning, man. It was really, really, really good and interesting. You bring a lot to the table. I appreciate that. Thank you.
I appreciate the kind words. Thank you for listening.
Secondly, I just wanted to touch on the Brian Dawkins and Jalen Hurts. It's always good to be critiqued. I don't have any problem with being critiqued, but it's just amazing to me how ex-players in their roles. To me, that was a bashing, okay? And that's what he wants to do. That's good because I know I watched the second best player in Philadelphia history. I watched him play. I didn't see him make game time decisions where it affected the game in our way. I watched the Arizona game when McNabb left the field and that defense.
I see what you're getting. You don't think Dawkins has a leg to stand on because he never won anything himself?
Not that, right? It's good, Buzz. Anybody can be critiqued. I'm critiqued at my job. I'm sure you are at your job as well, right? But it's just amazing when they asked him a year or two ago to analyze McNabb. I didn't hear any of McNabb's flaws was coming out of Brian's mouth.
Well, so Brian, really quick, because this is always what happened. With former athletes, their perspective is great because obviously they played the game at a level that none of us ever will, and they have a different, unique perspective from having played the game that we don't. Now, it does not mean that everything that every athlete says is true, or that there aren't sometimes biases, like you're saying, or that they are not then further judged against their own careers. Listen, maybe Brian Dawkins does have an unfair bias towards Donovan McNabb because he was his teammate and those were the eras that Doc played in. I'm not really concerned about what he did or didn't say about McNabb. What I am concerned about is, or what I why I do care about what he said about Jalen Hurts, is I do not view, and I don't think Brian Dawkins is generally viewed as a guy, he's not one of these like former quarterbacks or something that like ESPN has, where clearly there's a jealousy element when, like when Chris Sims speaks.
I
don't hear jealousy in Brian Dawkins' voice when he talks about the modern day Eagles. I think he's genuinely happy that the job has now been completed, the job that him and his teammates were never able to complete. And I think generally speaking, Brian Dawkins is viewed upon very, very favorably. I don't think anyone looks back and says, well, the reason that team never got on the over the hump was because of Dawkins. It was because of McNabb, because of Reed, because of the TO situation,
right,
this, that, and
right,
whatever. So I played that audio because I think Brian Dawkins is usually a pretty good, level-headed guy, and I thought he gave a pretty good take on the quarterback.
And that's fine. I'm good with that, Buzz. Again, I'm good with that. But just be consistent. That's what I like, consistency. Does Jalen Hurt need to improve in some areas? But absolutely, we all do. But one thing I do know, Buzz, all the quarterbacks that you named, none of them has beaten Hurts yet. But Mahomes.
Mahomes has.
That's 2-1.
No, Brian, I hear you. But, you know, similar to what I said about Mick Abel going up against Paul Skeens tomorrow, like, when quarterbacks play, they do play the opposing defense. Like, it's not as if Lamar Jackson was actually playing against Jalen Hurts. But I understand your point. I get what you're saying. Jalen Hurts now has a Lombardi trophy, which a number of those guys do not have. Hey, Brian, we're running out of time here. Really quick, give me someone who rebranded themselves.
I think Allen Iverson did. I think he turned around real well compared to what his lifestyle was and what he used to be. And the way that he's talking now, and the way that he's in the community.
It's a good answer.
That he's doing.
It's a good answer, Brian, and appreciate the call. Listen, as a player, obviously at the top of the world, but it's been well documented, didn't always take the best care of his body, didn't spend his money really well. Does seem like Allen Iverson certainly more on his feet than he used to be. That's going to do it for today's show. I had so much more that I still wanted to get to. I'll talk about all of it. Continue with the Eagles and Phillies discussion. As well, Sixers and Flyers, all four teams in the news for a variety of reasons this week. I will be back with you tomorrow night, 7 to 11 p.m., so I hope you will join me then. Coming up next, it'll be Rob Ellis and Mike Sielski. They always do a great job. Lewis Coco will be hanging around for that. Thank you so much to him for producing. Rob and Mike always do a great job, so stay tuned for them. And again, I'll be with you tomorrow from 7 to 11. I've been your host, Buzz. Thanks so much for tuning in. Here on a Saturday morning, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Ark Raiders. A multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Thank you.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Kleenex Lotion Tissues. You can't predict sick days, but with Kleenex Lotion Tissues, you can be better prepared for them while helping keep your skin healthy. Whether it's a surprise sneeze or a stuffy nose, it's always good to have something gentle on hand. Kleenex Lotion Tissues moisturize to help prevent skin irritation while you're battling those unwanted cold and flu symptoms. It's extra care when you need it most. I mean, why not have one less thing to worry about when you're not feeling your best? For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.